Welcome to the Round 20 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name is Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day Marcus, how'd your weekend go, sir?
Yeah, Supercoach-wise, not too great on a personal level, but on a team level, which is the key takeaway from this week, guys. On a team level, we are still number one.
It is definitely nice to be going so poorly, but at least have a group win is quite good. And yeah, we extended our league at the top of the rankings this time. And with 4 weeks to go, we've been number one for a few weeks now. You'd think that we're right in it.
Mm. And that's on top of us two being Driftwood at the moment. We've had a couple of poor weeks, or 3 poor weeks now.
So my team just sucks so bad. It's Franklin, Pav, Nine. Really struggled to get things going this week. And ended up with a pretty shitty score of 22.87. Luckily, I avoided Mitchell. The only reason I did that, though, is because I didn't have enough trades to bring him in. And I dropped out of the top 1,000 for the first time in quite a while to 1267. And I expect the drop to continue. I'm not too excited about where I'm at the moment. I'm playing a rookie on the field every week. Can't get my captain's choice right. Yeah, things just not falling into place at the moment.
Doesn't really sound like a fun situation to deal with, Mark. So I hope next 4 weeks goes a bit quickly for you. I scored 22.38 this week, so not fantastic either, and put me at 294th as an overall rank for the round. So not too happy with that. And also a little bit worried that I might slip out of the 500. So I'm hoping to make it 5 in a row this year, Mark. And that wasn't under threat until this week. So hoping
5 in a row for what?
Top 500, mate, which would be, I think, a pretty
5 years in a row for top 500.
Yeah, and we've had some pretty difficult years over the years.
That's ridiculous. 5 years in a row. Now that's consistency.
So fingers crossed that I don't keep sliding, Mark.
Yeah, especially since there's an elusive top 100 finish in there.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Not even one. This year was supposed to be the year. I talk it up too much each year, Mark. I think that's probably what it is.
Did you get so excited when you get close?
Like, yeah. Choker, probably. All right. I traded in Mitchell this week for Walker after holding off last week. And Jesus Christ, that's really painful. That's the second time this year. I've traded in Steve Johnson earlier this year for a donut. And now to be hit by Mitchell as well, it's a real bitch. And it's the only time you really get hit by, I've been hit by a donut because, you know, I'd have cover typically. But when you're trading a player in, it's generally because you need to avoid a donut. So when he's a laid out, it's just a real bitch to deal with. And
so you traded in a donut. That kind of makes me a little bit happy.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible times. And Swallow's tapering off, but everyone has him. So that's probably not a reason for my drop-off. Goddard's had a couple quiet weeks.
He has.
He was pretty important to me rising up for a while there. And then Jono, 61. We got Zorko back with a shitty score, 56. Pav, 9. Wingard, 62. And then Franklin, of course, an out. So
that's a lot of pain.
Yep, just terrible. Terrible all around. But the thing is, I can't get much worse, right? I say this every week. Seems to be trending only one way, but can't get much worse. I'm still going to take that attitude, and hopefully next week things turn around. It'd be a good week for that to happen because first week of finals, Mark.
Yeah, I'm top 8 in all my leagues and top 2 in a few cash leagues. So a bit excited about that and something to look forward to this week. Finals time's very nerve-wracking and you're really sweating every possession a lot of the time, so it would definitely be a good time to come good. I'm sure that there's some coaches out there, I have heard of this happening, that someone traded in Buddy and traded in Mitchell this week. So that's 2 donuts. So there's someone out there worse than you, mate.
All right, let's jump into some questions.
Jonathan Crockett, he's just wanting to give a shout out to Stevie J for getting suspended. But since that comment, thankfully, Stevie J's coming out of the tribunal and he's walking a free man, Mark.
He is. Free Stevie J. Woohoo! Thank God. That would have been another donut that I would have been staring at because it would have just been another 1 week injury. Or I guess if he failed in his appeal, it would have been 2, which almost would have been a relief and I could have just banged that trade out. But yeah, Stevie J, we were there on Saturday night. Didn't really do much except find a way to get himself suspended again. Lucky he got off. I think, did you hear that apparently Scott Thompson might have had some broken ribs and he sort of said that to the tribunal and that's why Stevie J got off because it sort of looked a bit worse than it was because he was a bit sensitive.
So I'm glad that he's got off and that we don't have to endure yet another... It'd be a donut for us, let's face it. So, well,
is it going to be better than Johnson versus Crowley?
Yeah, that's true. So,
but I'm actually interested this week with Johnson playing all right lately, but a bit quieter on the weekend. If you're Fremantle, would you go to Johnson or Selwood?
You'd think they'd go to Selwood at this stage.
Because, like, yeah. Crowley did shut down Selwood at the start of last year, and he's also had success on Johnson. He's had success on both of them. I just think, at the moment, Selwood's the most dangerous player.
Yeah, Johnson, hopefully, should stop receiving so much attention. And that's really helped out by Selwood also in the last few weeks really kicking on. I think Selwood and Johnson were quiet in a patch together, and that probably didn't help Johnson, because even though he wasn't playing really well, Selwood wasn't really luring the tag away. So it's good that, you know, I think 3 weeks in a row, 140 pluses, Selwood scored. So relatively easy opposition in Melbourne, GWS, North Melbourne, but hopefully he continues the form into the Fremantle game. As a Geelong fan, we've endured a bit of pain there. Remember going down to the final last year, first final at Skilled Stadium, and just getting destroyed. So I'm hoping for a little bit of good news from that front.
And I hope he does go to Johnson in a way, having both Selwood and Johnson, because I'm on the Selwood for Brownlow train.
Oh, are you now? Yeah, I certainly hope as a Geelong fan he takes it home. That'd be a really good way to cap off the season. On to the next question, and it's from Brendan Capriotti. Thanks for your question, Brendan. And he's asking whether or not to use his last two trades this week. So
Two trades?
Yeah. He's wanting to win a final and wanting to have the week off. So he actually has a double shot. Now, this seems like a pretty risky strategy, Mark.
Yeah, I think that does seem very, very risky. I think you really want to be saving a trade for prelim week. I mean, make a grand final. Anything can happen in a grand final. I've had battles in a grand final before where a team has lost three players and had three donuts in the grand final, and it's sort of been whoever just survives in that last week wins. So I think that the idea, I think it's great to try and have a week off. But I think that if you've got two trades left, you should really be trying to save at least one for prelim week, because anything can happen over the next 2 weeks. And I mean, even if you lose this week, you can always use the second trade next week and try and get in the prelim. But yeah, I probably wouldn't be going quite that hard.
I agree with you there, Mark.
So if you've got three trades left, though, would you use two this week or one?
I think you'd be happy to use two and then hope that you're still bringing in good players, that those two good players score well in prelim week, and that one extra trade in prelim week will be enough to take you to the grand final. Yeah, I think ideally you really don't want to roll the dice next week. You'd like to just get through and not have to pull a single trade next week. So
the old strategy was always try and save one trade for each week of finals. And I think that's probably a fair strategy. And unless you're facing really low scores or donuts, I'd probably be trying to use one for each week during the finals if possible, and whether that's one this week, one for prelim, and one for the final.
Good advice there for people going for the league.
It's a bit of a gamble, though. It's scary. It's fun times.
Especially with people with a bit of cash on the line. Certainly a lot of people with work leagues have a lot of bragging rights. Yeah. Got a whole year of smack talk to deal with after that.
Like the Aces League that I've won three out of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Supercoach number one league.
I'm pretty sure every year when we start the podcast, that's how you start off with. League champ from last year, coming back.
Yeah, not this year, I think. I made the finals. Made the finals of the number one league in the country, but I'm a long way from favourite and some very good coaches in that league.
Including me in the top four, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. Next question is from Dean Vasek, and he's asking how we're both doing in our draft leagues.
Are you still playing that thing?
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out too. We had a deal with ours where it was just, we had a lot of teams this year. I think we had like 16 teams or something crazy.
Yeah.
All front up $100, and we were both out. I won my last 5 games of the season and still missed the finals. I picked Sam Mitchell with number 4. He got injured in that game where he scored like a 2 or something. I lost that game by 7 points, and that cost me a spot in the final because my top pick was out for 10 weeks. Just found it really hard to recover from that. It was right before the buys. Like, things just turned to crap for me in the middle of the season. And so, yeah, that was a bit of a write-off this year for me.
My strategy was just terrible from the start. I picked a lot of value guys, and it just didn't work out. I'm not a league specialist, I'm going to be honest. I'm pretty consistent getting this overall rank thing, but I'm pretty terrible with the leagues, I gotta admit. So I'm pretty nervous about my own cash league this year, Mark. I tend to stumble at the finish, so it may happen again this year.
I won't be upset if it does.
Thanks, buddy.
That's right.
All right, next question's from Carl, and he's asking whether or not it's worth getting rid of Swallows. So this is a bit radical because he's averaged 102.78.
But he was averaging 110 for like a long time.
That's still nothing to laugh about in the back line, but certainly he has dropped a lot. He's dropped 8 points in average, like you said. What do you think, Mark? Do you think he can turn it around with Gold Coast flagging as well without Ablett? Certainly increased the tension on every single one of their midfielders because of that. What do you reckon of Swallow? Can he turn it around, or is he worth trading out? Because you'd essentially have a POD. Most people have a Swallow spot, you know, locked up in their team.
Yeah. So he scored 600s in the first 6 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, he hasn't hit the ton, 62, 87, and 93. But on the weekend, something like a cyst behind his knee popped, which caused him a bit of pain. So that's why he got subbed out and didn't really score very well, but apparently he's going to be fine for this week. And his scores before that, like 87 and 93 in the 2 weeks, that's not that bad for a defender. A midfielder, you'd be a bit worried. And the 2 weeks before that, 135 and 127. Gold Coast have a couple of winnable games coming up. Personally, I think he's still playing right in the midfield. As long as he overcomes his bit of pain from this week and gets up, I think that, I mean, who are you going to go to? Like, there's definitely no guarantees in the back line. So I personally can't see a reason to really be trading him if he gets up.
I guess the worry is, you know, a couple more 50 scores really changes the whole equation, because that's really hard to balance out, because he's not going to score those 130s every week. He's much more likely to score the 100. So that's really hard to bounce back from the 50s. Certainly, Mark, in the back line, there aren't too many more solid options. So I'm probably lean toward your sentiments there, Mark. Next question is from Ben, and he's asking about the midfield. Side bottom, Kieran Jack or Rory Sloan? What do you reckon about those boys?
It's a bit tricky. I've got Kieran Jack, and he's been pretty shit since I got him. And I don't have Sloan, and a lot of people went for Sloan when Ablett went down as a cheaper option. And I watched the Collingwood game where he got tagged by McCaffer, but still churned out 100. He just seems to get to that mark every week. So doing quite well, but doesn't have a lot of big scores in his system. But Crows have a pretty friendly draw playing Brisbane this week up at the Gabba. So I think out of the lot, Sloan seems to be the best pick. And probably the biggest upside pick, I would say, would be Steel Side Bottom. I will be considering picking Steel Side Bottom next year. I just think that he has a huge amount of upside and can score really, really big. I know he's had his low games here and there, but just the way he covers the ground for the Pies, and he's such an important player. I like Steel Side Bottom, and he could just go off. So if you think you're a favorite already, I'd be taking Sloan. If you just want to try your luck, take Side Bottom, but don't come to me when it fails.
That comes with no insurance at all. I think Callum Ward might be a little bit of a sneaky one as well. He's just really,
really more expensive, though.
Yeah, well, actually, Steele's pretty expensive too, 570. So Callum Ward's only 600. I mean, you do still have to find that cash, but yeah.
You like Callum Ward?
Yeah, I think that in terms of consistency, he seems like he's right there with Pritis, except that he's a little bit better with his decision-making, it seems. So he seems to be able to score a little bit better.
Pritis's form has been ridiculous. Like, he has played out of his skin for the last like 10 weeks, and good on him. He's really, really lifted to a huge standard. But yeah, like Callum Ward, such a damaging player. I didn't see quite this amount of upside. Really, really impressed with Ward. And yeah, I know people that are definitely strongly considering him this week.
Like Barlow, Mark? 560?
I don't mind Barlow for 560. I mean, he scored 144 on the weekend, but that's pretty much because Fifey handed him that goal with like 5 minutes to go. He was sort of on track for a 115, 120, which is what you'll get from Barlow. I guess he's a very similar pick to Sloan. He just is going to be consistent and get in that 100 to 120 mark pretty much every week. And I don't mind him in the sense that I kind of feel he's a little bit more reliable than Sloan, just in the sense that he doesn't have the attention that Sloan will get, and he gets his points a bit easier than Sloan does. But then Adelaide have a bit of a better draw than Freo, I think.
Libba, Mark, 530. So he's fallen a little bit from his former highs. We know he can smash out 120s, 140s. Potentially presents a lot of value at this price. What do you reckon?
Yeah, he's probably my captain option this week playing St Kilda. He does seem to be a little bit up and down the tag, still going to Griffin. I quite like Libra as a pick, actually, just because his upside is ginormous. He could go 130 plus four times in a row from here.
Absolutely. I think that's enough talk in the midfield. If you had to go a 1-2 mark.
1-2 with those options. Geez, I probably like Libba the best out of the ones that you mentioned. Ward, if you can afford it, but I guess they weren't the ones that were mentioned in the question, were they?
No. Is that price being a factor or not a factor?
That's just who I would pick. Yeah, that's just who I think has the potential to probably score the best and who I'd have most confidence in.
Okay. Well, then Libba probably sounds like the most exceptional pick of the lot because he's also the cheapest at 530, I think.
Yep. What about yourself?
Probably have Ward as probably the most likely to score big points for the year. I think, you know, Rockliffe is obviously the one you'd like to have, but he's
like way 670 or something.
Yeah, 680. So I think Ward, you know, if you can hit 600, I think I'd probably just go ahead and pick him. But if not, I think Libba is probably my next pick after that.
Karen Jack or Sloan?
Sloan. I've been on Jack for most of the year, but he hasn't really turned things around.
I hate him so much now.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Maybe we're feeling this way about Jack because Parker's starting to get more of those points and now Jack's getting left out and we don't understand why.
But he wasn't like he was coming off 1100s in a row when I picked him. I think it was 11 scores above 110 in a row when I picked him. And then he went like 2 scores below 80 in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think Parker's really picked it up though in the last...
He has, and Hanbury's back this week, so who knows what happened.
Yeah, so I think he's just probably a lot more competition.
The competition was there earlier in the year.
Yeah, like, but he was just winning it at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunate timing for you.
A little bit of frustration.
All right, next guy we're going to talk about is Pavlich, Mark. So just quick talk on him. He potentially might miss. Obviously, they're not going to train him much, basically going to leave him alone and hope he gets up for the game on Saturday night.
Don't talk to him this week, guys, because you might confuse him. His brain's a bit muddled.
Yeah, leave him in the dark alone.
Yeah, that was really bad. Like, he's come off such poor form to score the 9. Now his price is at, like, 383. Just hasn't been getting it done. Even if he plays this week, does he, like, really get a lot of points? Very important player for them. They've become a little bit more one-dimensional as the season's gone on, which has meant that other teams have really shut down on Pav because they know where the ball's going all the time, which is not how they really started the season or how they wanted to start the season. Super frustrated with Pav. I guess in that situation we talked about earlier where maybe you've got 2 trades left and Pav might be one that you're trying to look at maybe get rid of because it's not just the 9, it's what's happened previous to that as well.
For the people that are thinking of trading him out, if you don't have much money...
You don't have much choices.
But let's look at those options for those people. So
388. So you don't have a lot of money. You might be able to go up to like 420.
Windelik is at 420 and Mitchell is at 420.
Windelik's been scoring well, but 48 on the weekend, I wouldn't trust him. Injury as well.
Jack Riewoldt, if you happen to...
How much is Jack?
435. He's probably the first decent option, I think.
Yeah, Richmond coming off 5 in a row. Not horrible. Because if you're going closer to Pav, you're looking at Michael Hurley playing at centre back. You can't really pick him, you would think. Luke Bruce, who's averaging 88. But he seems to just be shut down like every week lately. He probably should have scored a little bit better on the weekend. The Hawks don't have a great draw coming home. With Rioli out of the team, I think that they can really focus their best defender or small defender on Bruce, which makes it a bit tricky. Gunston's out for the next 3 weeks, which probably makes Bruce even more important, but they probably put even more attention into him. You got Mark Lacroix with West Coast having a decent draw, hitting a winning form on the weekend. I guess he's a potential.
Travis Cloke, Mark, could win you a grand final.
Yeah.
If he scores 180, he could win you a grand final.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could. Well, there's not many players like that.
I think I'd rather pick Jared Grant, and he hasn't played much for a while. So,
such is your distaste.
I'm not going to pick Travis Cloke under any circumstances. And if you go cheaper than that, you're really getting into the dregs a little bit. I guess the one player that is quite cheap that might be a little bit interest is Josh Caddy, coming off 112 on the weekend, only 365,000. I know a lot of our listeners probably started with him at the start of the year and had to get rid of him because of his poor form, but he does seem to have hit a patch of form in recent times. Someone you'd consider as a Geelong man?
Yeah, But no, I don't mind it because he's a Geelong man, but I don't know. I still see him as an 85 play. And I guess in a 4 week period, he does have the potential to average 100 in that stretch, but just. So I guess all the options around that price aren't particularly fantastic, but I think I'd rather give it to a key position forward because if they hit 160 in 1 week, that'll go a big way to offsetting poor scores.
So Jack Riewoldt, Tom Hawkins or Chris Yaron, if you had a bit of extra money.
Tomahawk, I think. There's really not many options around that price.
And unlimited funds, Harvey, Parker, Gray.
I think probably go with Parker. What about you?
Over Boomer. Yeah, and with Hanbury coming back, I'd be taking Boomer, just with their draw as well. And Gray has seriously dropped off now, so...
Yeah, 49 last week. So he will be pretty important for the people that have paid that much for him. Port Adelaide got some seriously tough opposition in the next week. So people with Port players will be hoping that they can turn that form around.
I think Port supporters will as well. Like it's conceivable from here that Port missed the final.
Is it really?
Yeah. They could lose the next four games. They play Sydney, Fremantle, the Suns, and Carlton. And like if they lost all four of those games... There's some teams outside of the eight, including Adelaide, even down to Richmond, that could steal their spot, which would be a serious fall from grace. That'd be worse than Essendon.
From what were
two grains? There were two games clear on top.
Yeah, that's crazy. And that was what, round 12 or
something like that. I don't expect it to happen. I hope it doesn't for the Port supporters. Like, yeah, they've had a tough year.
Yeah,
well, tough few weeks anyway.
Nick Riewoldt scored 96 again last week. So
geez. Yeah, so are you picking Nick? We had a bit of a chat to him about him on Saturday night. Like, he's averaged 115 the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, no, I can't. I could have picked him instead of Wingard, and I passed him up because of his knee. And even though he's turned it around, I still worry about that, I think. He's 480 now. It makes it even harder to pick him. Like, he was an option at 380 for me, so.
He could go up to, like, 600 to finish the season, then.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being a fool and sticking my head in the sand, but yeah, I'd still worry about his knee for that amount that you're paying. I think I'd rather even just take the punt on Gray, like, even though he's a bit off. Okay, last question. Anthony missed his top four by 1%, so he has one trade left and he's looking for an upgrade option for Tex Walker, mid or forward. So if you had an awkward amount of cash, would you be looking for a mid-price midfielder or a mid-price forward?
Yeah, it's tricky. I guess if it's an option of do you pick a $500,000 midfielder or any of the forwards that we talked about, then I think you have to go for the midfielder. They've got... higher scoring potential. Could pick Brendan Goddard for that price. I mean, he's fit at the moment, not scoring amazingly well. But I think personally, the two players that interest me under 500,000 would be Treloar and Prestia. They've both shown huge scoring potential this year. Yeah, I'd just sort of back them in over four games if I could.
I think Treloar's a pretty good pick, and
I would actually take Prestia of the two.
Oh, okay. I would have taken Treloar before Ablett went down, and after I think I'd still take Treloar. So yeah, I'm probably more in the Treloar camp, but I've been looking at him for a bit longer, I guess. So maybe I'm not giving Prestia enough credit. He is a contested machine and he's good on the outside. So yeah, both very, very good selections at that price and have come off a little bit. They previously in the season have been quite a bit more pricey. So getting pretty good value.
I think even maybe even Mitch Duncan, Ryan Griffin, Mundy... There's a whole bunch of players there that you would back over a lot of those forwards that we talked about.
Yeah, Mundy's at 480, so Jesus. Definitely take a midfielder. All right, last question is captaincy choices. Any off the cuff that you want to mention, Mark?
Pretty happy with running Selwood if I can. It's a bit tricky. You got to remember that you got the non-playing player after your vice-captain, which is easy for me because none of my bench is playing. But I think I'm looking at, this sounds a bit tricky, but Mark Murphy this week against the Suns, just because the Suns don't really have a tagger and he's been playing amazingly good football. He's just being shut down because someone can like focus solely on him for the whole game. So if he gets away without a tagger, then he's shown that he can get 150 pretty easily. And I'm looking at maybe a Libba backup. Pendles is a bit down. Fife against Geelong is probably not too bad. JPK. So picking Murphy and Libra over the real solid gold midfielders is probably a bit risky.
If you're feeling like you may struggle in your finals game and you just need a shot in the dark to win it, the vice captaincy is not a bad tool to take that shot.
Go for some serious upside.
Yeah. So I don't mind taking somebody, maybe even like Buddy. You hope that Sydney just towel Port up and Buddy maybe kicks 150, 160, maybe 180. If you really want to go for broke, if you're struggling, I think a key position forward might be okay too. But that's for your vice captaincy choice, obviously. Go for somebody a bit safer for your second option, hopefully.
I think for a lot of our listeners, the captaincy and vice-captaincy choice is actually going to determine a lot of the results during their finals. We saw it this week with those that locked in Fife, which I finally got one right. I did Fifey on the Thursday night as vice-captain and 171. Like, he wasn't tracking anywhere near that huge last quarter. That makes it very difficult for teams playing you. They need a lot to go right after that.
Anything can happen in finals, Mark. It's a pretty exciting time of year.
It is.
Down like, on trades and stuff.
I lost a game to a team that had Rory Laird and Jasper Pittard on the weekend.
And I know I pipped you in the last game in our cash league, Mark.
Yeah, that was not the funnest afternoon. Looked like I had you covered, and then you just got across the line at the end.
Not like a matter of difference. We started the game in 1-2. We finished the league in 1-2 anyway. So
we did in a league that's like ranked seriously highly for a mates league.
Hmm. Yeah, all the best for this week, guys, and hopefully there's an air of excitement around the place. Hopefully you're not knocked out, and hopefully you don't have to play next week because you've made it to the prelim final already. All the best. Go Supercoach Coach Aces. Hopefully we can hold on to the top, and go Geelong Cats. We've got a big week coming up against Freo.
Yeah, I won't be here next week, mate, because I'm just going to win all my prelims this week and just go and find somewhere in the sun to sit for a week next week.
All the best, mate, and we'll catch you guys again next week. See ya.
See ya. See ya.